Mr. Zhang.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court? My name is Yongping Zhang. I represent petitioners in this petition for review. Petitioners are mother and son from People's Republic of China. Their asylum application and withholding of removal application.
Could you speak up a little, please?
Okay. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Their asylum application and withholding of removal application was first denied by the IJ, and then their appeal was dismissed by the Board of Immigration Appeals. And the denial of the asylum application was largely based on the credibility issue. There are three issues.
Could I just quickly ask you, Mr. Zhang, do we know for certain if abortion certificates exist? And if so, do they exist in all cases?
Judge, I represent some Chinese nationals in their asylum application. Some of them raised a claim under the coercive family planning policy. Some of them have, but some of them do not have. So it's not every case or all the asylum cases or all the claims regarding forced abortion have the certificates. I believe this my description is consistent with the State Department's country report, and the country report indicated that in some certain area of China, the birth certificate the abortion certificate was not issued to the person against whom the abortion was performed.
You mean if it's an involuntary abortion, no certificate is issued? And if it's voluntary, it is issued?
Your Honor, that's the statement from the country report. But I would not agree with that. Sometimes the client would they provide the abortion certificate, but sometimes they just don't. But they never give very clear or universal reasons why the certificates were not issued.
In this case, the certification or the IJ was complaining because they were not did not have documents, and I believe maybe not. She testified that they were taken away.
Yes, Judge, and the female petitioner testified that the certificate and the household registration were taken away by the family officials.
Taken away when?
I think she testified that after the abortion was performed, but prior to her departing,
which was 2 months
China
later, wasn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Sometime in there, they took him away from her. She actually had him, and they took him away. Is that what happened?
That's what her testimony was.
The other thing about her testimony, there's some confusion, at least for me, that to what extent she was able to testify. There's some about a speech defect and some problems communicating, according to her son. I don't understand. Was there a problem where the IJ didn't understand her or she didn't understand him? What is this communication problem she had?
The female petitioner, through the hearing, she repeatedly testified that the abortion occurred in year 1999, which from her which would suggest that the abortion occurred prior to the pregnancy, which is not true. At one point, the female petitioner did indicate to the court that she has speech difficulty and she was very nervous. And the IJ did ask her whether she would like to have a recess, but she just turned it down, and she said she could continue. And the IJ did offer water if the female petitioner needed, but she also turned it down. And she did indicate to respondent to the IJ that she was very nervous in that hearing. And also, the male petitioner testified that her mother, which is female petitioner, did have difficulty in communicating with others. And at one time, because I also represent them at the immigration court hearing, so I...
You represented them there?
Yes, Judge.
Now, do you speak the same dialect?
Yes, Judge.
Okay.
No, not the same dialect. I speak Mandarin. But
well, I mean, could you communicate with her?
Yeah, I can communicate with her.
Can you communicate with her on subtleties, on...
Well, for that, I don't think I can do that, because her native language is Fujianese, but my native language is Mandarin. For subtleties, I cannot really handle that.
Were you satisfied that the interpreter could communicate with her?
Throughout the hearing, the interpreter has demonstrated some frustration from this lady, and my understanding is this lady would always repeat the question first and then answer it. That's I think the part of the record reflect to that extent. The leading inconsistency the IJ relied on is this time of abortion, and we argue that the record does not support a clear or convincing finding of that inconsistency, because female petitioner did testify that the second pregnancy occurred in October 1999, and she hid it for 5 months, and later she was found. And at this point, she testified that that happened in February 1999. And the court asked her a couple of times. She retained that date. But later, the hearing, she did recount that. And
that's after they took a break and then got her straightened out. Well,
She was aborted at over 5 months. Is that correct? At over 5 months.
Yes, Your Honor. That's her testimony.
The snakeheads, whatever they call them, the people that get them over here for lots of money, is this the theme that they impress? Is this the problem that you may encounter with the IJs? They don't believe them because they think they fabricate these stories, that they just make them up in order to fit into the law, the definition of refugee on abortion. Is that what's going on?
No, Your Honor. I think the factual development in this case is consistent with what happened in China, and in some ways consistent with general background information submitted even by the government. That is, because of this restrictively enforced family planning policy, like in this case, once a couple has a boy, they are pretty much done. They cannot have the second child. And to that question, to your question, I really do not have a very clear answer.
Okay.
I see my time is up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zhang. Mr. Stevens?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is John Stevens. I represent the respondent. May it please the court. This case is about a mother and son who failed to tell a consistent story regarding the circumstances surrounding an abortion allegedly forced on the mother.
Yes, but with respect to the discrepancy in her testimony as to whether the relevant events took place in February 1999 or February 2000, didn't she herself clarify in response to the IJ's inquiry that she had confused 1999 with 2000? And given that 1999 was so clearly a mistaken date, is it really fair? I mean, is it really fair to discredit her on that basis?
Well, Your Honor, there are, first of all, four material inconsistencies that the immigration judge...
Yeah, but if the immigration judge attaches significant weight to one and does it irrationally, how can we affirm, unless we think that the error was harmless because it's so clear that no reasonable immigration judge would have granted asylum?
Well, if I may, Your Honor, I don't think the timing issue is just a matter of a technicality or a slip of the tongue. If I may, if we believe that she did just misspeak and that the abortion actually, according to her, happened in February of 2000, which would be consistent with her husband's written statement and male petitioner's story, then we are forced to believe that she underwent a forced abortion which left her physically impaired, that she healed from that impairment, went through a prolonged and profound depression, reached the conclusion that her only recourse was to leave her home country and husband of 17 years, arrange to find a smuggler, arrange $60,000 in financing, left China, went through Canada, and arrived in the United States in the space of approximately 2 months. Now, while another fact finder might conclude that that could happen, the facts do not compel a contrary conclusion to that reached by the immigration judge in this case, that the story did not seem consistent.
That's an ingenious argument. That's not the immigration judge's argument, is it?
The immigration judge argued that the timing issue was not clear and did not make sense.
I thought his position was simply this was so important that how could she have made such a mistake?
Well, that
I didn't think he attributed, maybe I missed it, I didn't think he had attributed to her a reason for backdating it to 1999, which is what you're saying.
I think it's kind of the flip side of the argument, Your Honor. It would be incredulous to believe that female petitioner could confuse whether she had...
Pardon? I'm sorry. What?
Whether she had the abortion 14 months before she left the country or 2 months before the left.
When you are extraordinarily nervous in situations such as the one we're describing, it is possible not to remember your own name. I mean... It is probable to be a little mixed up. And, of course, immediately she realized that she had confused 99 with 2000.
After the break, she did change her testimony. That is correct, Your Honor. But she changed her testimony on several issues. For instance, she testified, her written statement said, that she turned herself in order to free her son who was being held in captivity. Then she testified that, in fact, she was caught by family planning officials in Fuzhou City, where her cousin was hiding her. Then she changed her story again and said that, no, in fact, she turned herself in.
There's no question her son was in custody, right?
Actually, that is a factual question, Your
Honor.
Well,
I mean, he testified to that.
Yes, he did testify
to that. One week. And she indicated that that was part of the reason she either turned herself in or acquiesced after she got caught or something. She had the abortion, based on her testimony. I get the impression that the IJ just didn't believe this happened.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And this whole thing was fabricated.
That's right. And
yeah,
in fact,
and I'll tell you, the one of the other issues here that kind of bothers me is the IJ's conclusory statement says, well, wait a minute, all your in-laws had more, or your relatives had more kids, therefore they wouldn't have had this policy. Isn't that one of his reasons? Isn't that one of your four?
No, that's not one of the four that
that's
I was
one of
going
his.
To point. One of his, yes. And this court in Zheng did say that where you have that circumstance, well, without the background information, that's of limited relevance.
Well, maybe he didn't know that, but he seemed to put a lot of emphasis on it. And obviously, if the first of all, the husband's relatives were already over here. They may have had kids over here. And secondly, the argument that I think her kid was born in 83.
That's correct.
And the policy didn't go into effect until 79. And it's possible they had more children before 79.
That is also possible, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, that wasn't, he didn't, he, I don't know, I was sort of perplexed that he went into that, frankly.
I'm sorry? Like
he was just coming up with more reasons why she made this up, when in fact it could is a very easy explanation of why the relatives may have had more children without having them taken away or killed or whatever they do over there.
I believe, Your Honor, that some of the arguments of inconsistency in the testimony are stronger than others. And in particular, I think...
And that isn't a very strong one, then. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that that is of limited relevance. That's what...
Right. Well, what are the other three?
Well, the second one, as I was starting to discuss, was whether she was, in fact, caught by family planning officials in Fuzhou City or simply voluntarily turned herself in at the family planning office in Tianjin, her home village. She went back and forth on that four times. Male petitioner also reversed himself on a very key fact, namely, during this time that he supposedly was being held in detention, whether or not he knew where his mother was. We have two scenarios, both involving a 16-year-old boy being held without food for 2 days in darkness, being pressured to find to give information as to his mother's whereabouts. There are two possibilities. Either he knew where his mother was and courageously, even heroically, refused to acknowledge he knew where she was, or alternative two, he was enduring a week of questioning and pressure to give information he simply did not have. The immigration judge concluded that that is not a point on which he should have had any lack of clarity, and in fact he testified both ways. That was simply not credible testimony.
Perhaps he fears that if he's sent back, he might be severely punished either way.
Well, but the inconsistency went as to the knowledge that he had at the time, and that isn't an issue that whether he genuinely fears being returned or not, it shouldn't have been a point that was a point of confusion for him in his testimony. He supposedly is the one who endured this experience.
The problem is if you take away the date discrepancy and take away the point that Judge Mannion was asking you about the fact that some of the relatives had more than one child, how do we know the immigration judge would have reached the same result?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not aware of any decisions by this court regarding the issue if you discount some inconsistencies in an immigration judge's decision. Does that taint the entire case?
Well, it's certainly implicit in our decisions. I mean, we're constantly reversing these immigration judges on the basis of inconsistencies and irrationalities in their discussion of the evidence. We don't say, every single thing that the immigration judge said was unreasonable.
Well, Your Honor, as I said, I'm not aware of any decisions by this court. However, petitioners...
But the standard is clear. Would the immigration judge, if he had not committed these errors, have reached the same result?
I believe the issue is the judge's decision supported by substantial evidence?
No, that's a separate question. even if there's evidence in the record, the judge has to rationally connect the evidence to his conclusion. We keep saying that.
Yes, Your Honor.
The decision, the opinion has to be rational, even if there's plenty of evidence.
I see that.
There might be overwhelming evidence, but suppose he said, I'm going to send you back because there are too many Chinese people trying to come into this country, right? Then we would reverse, even though the evidence was abundant.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm out of time. Do you want me
That's
to...
That's basic, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
I want to just tell me the fourth.
I'm sorry?
The fourth reason.
The fourth reason had to do with whether or not petitioner's husband, in fact, accompanied her in her hiding.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stevens. So, Mr. Zhang, does he have any time? You have 1 minute. Do you have anything further?
Nothing.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.